WBAIN, New York. Stick it in your ear.
All right.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI, New York. The views in the upcoming program are not necessarily the views of management or other producers at this free speech radio station. This is WBAI, New York.
It's close to midnight, and something evil's lurking in the dark.
So that is what Thriller or Michael Jackson would have sounded like had he been Latino. That is actually a tribute. It was done a few years ago, a Latino tribute to Michael Jackson. It was recorded live. Thousands of people were in the public, and is actually a production of a fellow called Tony Sukar. Tony Sukar. He happens to be Peruvian, Costa Rican, and of Japanese descent or ascent. And he was born in Peru, raised up in the United States. And that recording, that particular presentation, apparently was recorded in Florida. And the singer there is a fellow called Kevin Ceballo. Kevin Ceballo is the lead singer with another fellow called Michael Stewart. Again, a Latino tribute to Michael Jackson, done a few years ago in Florida, a production of Tony Sukar. And welcome to, surprise, surprise, for me, that presentation is fantastic because there's a bunch of young folks there. They're all young people who did that recording, the horn section, the everything, singers, and they're very young. Young generation is the first time that I hear fairly very young people playing salsa the way it was done back in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s with power and a great deal of originality also. Very often salsa players today are, I don't know, in my opinion, at least to my taste, sound a little bit plastic, and this one is powerful, super powerful. So this is La Voz Latina on WBAI, and we will be talking today about something very, very serious and something we consider to be a threat to our civil liberties here in the United States, and it's something that is going on worldwide, and it is this matter of considering a passport's a vaccine passport in order for you to take an airplane, in order for you to sit down and have a coffee somewhere, in order for you to attend university, for your children to be able to go to school. And we think that there's a fine line, there's a very fine line here that is being crossed or attempted to be crossed. There are thousands, millions of people that are protesting around the world. In the U.S., there haven't been that many protests, but there have been some here in New York City, and we'll be talking about those. And there are some that are upcoming also. But we do believe that vaccines, if people want to take vaccinations, cool, go ahead and take it. If you want to wear a mask, go ahead and wear a mask. But these impositions by a state, by a corporate bourgeois state, telling people all over the place that they got to take a vaccine, which has not even been approved by the FDA, incidentally, still in the experimental stage. It's been around for less than a year. We believe that this is very serious, dangerous stuff. So the program today is going to be dedicated to that. Going back to the music bit, after the first segment, we're going to be going to a second. We're not going to play as much. We'll probably play only about a minute and a half of this continuing tribute to Michael Jackson, Latinos. And the second song we'll be listening to in a little while will be Billie Jean. And in the second segment of the program, we will be speaking with chiropractor Eric Feintouch. Dr. Eric Feintouch. But right now, let's just go directly with the people we have with us right now. Raquel.
Okay, and as promised, we do have with us Raquel Martinez. And Raquel Martinez has been on the program with us a couple of occasions already. And she is a pediatric occupational therapist. And also we have had in the past with us Jessica Coco, who is with the Medical Freedom Pro Choice. And now, as we have told you in the brief introduction, we noticed that there is, in our opinion, a crude violation of people's human rights. My opinion personally is that if people want to take a vaccine or if they want to wear a mask, they have the right to do it. But I also think that people who do not want to take a vaccine should not be forced, to have some foreign object penetrating their bodies, their skin. I believe there's a serious violation of human rights. And I do believe that once we cross that line, if the state can impose that, do literally violate people's bodies, they'll stop at nothing, at absolute nothing. And we know how violent these states have been. We have seen the wars that they've carried out around the world and how they try to impose their will constantly. So, Raquel Martinez, you have been involved recently in various demonstrations, and so have you, Jessica.
Yes.
But Raquel, could you tell us briefly, what are some of the implications of these forced vaccinations upon people, and also what possible alternatives they could choose if they do not want to be vaccinated?
Well, a lot of people do not want to get vaccinated because they're scared of the adverse effects, but they're constantly being told that it's okay. The risks, the benefits outweigh the risks, which is very worrisome. So what I'm encouraging everyone to do that does not want to take these shots, to file a religious exemption. Now, a lot of people just believe it's for the vaccines. It can also be for the test, because the testing is invasive. It violates your body. So it violates your temple. If you honestly or you feel that you have a connection to God or however you choose to reference your creator, you can file a religious exemption not only for the vaccine, but for the testing as well. And that needs to be done as soon as possible because there is an approaching deadline.
And Jessica, you have been working a little bit more specifically recently because the group that you work with, I noticed that you do have people in the health field and also educators and other public and private sector workers. Very interesting because, you know, for decades, people, so-called activists, labor activists, have been trying to organize people around different labor causes and labor rights and human rights, and it's very, very difficult. And yet we have noticed that in the last couple of months, hundreds of people have been coming forward, workers, public sector and private sector workers, saying that they want to organize. They want to do something to defend their human rights because they do not want this to be vaccinated against their will. So could you tell us some of the possible options that people could choose specifically in terms of if they do not want to be vaccinated?
Well, I want to make a point because right now in the healthcare field, people are being told falsely that they had passed their deadline to follow religious exemption. That is absolutely false. And I also know people have contacted their union at 1199, who's also told them the same nonsense. And again, it's nonsense. You can file a religious exemption at any time. And
what is the process to file a religious exemption? Where do they get the documents? Who do they go to? How do they do that?
So, excuse me. So, I mean, they can go on the webpage, stopthelockdown.net, and you can see sample letters. So these sample letters would go to your HR, human resources. So whoever your human resources is, you can send it to them.
Okay, and the website, again, is
stopthelockdown.net.
.net. Net, not org, not com.
.net. Now, again, we are not attorneys. We are not giving any legal advice. But you can see some sample letters. So you could see kind of what a religious exemption should look like. Now, if you've been denied a religious exemption, or a medical exemption, you have the right to appeal. People also have not been told this, not by their union, not by their employer. Mm-hmm. And this is not just the 1199 in healthcare unions. It's also the fire department. I know people in the police department, the MTA. You have the right to file a religious exemption or medical exemption. You have the right to appeal. And I also should like to mention, because you mentioned rallies, so many of us feel that our unions are not representing us. In some cases, we don't have a union, maybe like Home Depot, and they're thinking about organizing against this very question of a mandatory vaccine, because it's not just the vaccine. It's the question that they're implementing boosters, and you have no choice. Well, or this invasive test, which you have no choice to take. And the thing about the vaccine is, when you have a vaccine where a side effect is death, you should have a choice. Especially for a, quote, disease that's 99.98% recovery rate, that's pretty outrageous. So we've been having some very big rallies. We had one on Monday in Staten Island at the North Campus. And, okay, it started small. We only had about 100. But on Wednesday at the South Campus, we had over 400 people. 400. And
what was the purpose of those rallies?
It was to stop the mandates for the hospital workers. And I'd like to thank, by the way, people who work in the fire department and the police who also came. And in fact, we should have one big rally with all of these different sectors. And if you belong to any of these unions, please contact us at stopthelockdown.net. We are trying to organize among all the city and state employees, especially in Staten Island.
And also, if people want a telephone number, they could call 718-414-9558. Is there another number, or
yes,
would that be the only number? There is,
yes,
another number?
Yes, we have another number, 201-426-7830.
Right. And for those who need assistance writing a religious exemption, there is support. There are pastors and priests that will help write the letter for a donation. There is a Dr. Eric Feintusch, who will write a religious exemption for you, or will refer you to a pastor or priest that can assist you. So you are not alone. And if you do not speak English, and you have a family member, or if there's a family member that speaks English, but the rest of them do not speak English, please assist them in this, because this is very important. The Latino community, and actually all communities that are not English dominant, are being easily swayed because they do not have a mastery over the language. So if you have a family member that is struggling with this, please support them on this very difficult journey.
Raquel, you have been you've been to various rallies, but recently you were at one that was apparently pretty impressive. Could you tell us about that rally? I think it was on Sunday.
It was on Sunday, August 15th. And it was it August 15th or August 16th?
Sunday.
The 15th. And yes, it started out small, but it grew, in size. Everyone is against, these mandates. It was against what de Blasio was saying, which is absolutely unconstitutional. De Blasio needs to be aware, needs to be reminded that he is to abide by the Constitution, which he is not. And we New Yorkers will make sure that he is reminded day in and day out.
Before we go to another point, that you, I was hanging around Bryant Park the other day, and a homeless fellow came selling some newspapers, and I bought it without seeing what the headline was. And apparently, Hank Newsom, who is co-founder of Black Lives Matter, the greater New York area, he opposes the COVID vaccine because of, as we would expect, wariness shaped by discrimination. And by that, he means, and I'm not going to read the article, you can check out that article in the newspaper called Our Town. It's on the front page, Our Town, this week. And obviously, he's talking about the fact that, you know, black people, people of color, immigrants have traditionally, Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico, tens of thousands were submitted to all types of experiments without their even knowing it. Mm-hmm. I still remember back in the 1970s when I had relocated to Puerto Rico after 20 years in New York, and I went down there for over 20 years. Women all over the place were having all types of internal organ removal, supposedly for their own health. Thousands of them. And then we find out that this was all part of a whole scheme of experiments that they were doing with women in Puerto Rico. And so when Hank Newsom points out that he is worried of the possible effects of vaccinations upon people of color, we definitely know what he's talking about, and definitely I feel our listeners also probably know more than us in terms of actual practice, in terms of how they've been treated at different health centers. And also all we have to do is check out Mr. Google, and it'll give us thousands of examples of experiments on black and Latino communities. Jessica Coco, are there any plans for other demonstrations defending human rights and defending the right not to be forcibly vaccinated?
Yes, we're having some events, but I just wanted to add something about the religious exemptions.
Please.
Even if you've been vaccinated, by the way, so let's say recently you felt forced by your job to get vaccinated, you can still file a religious exemption, and you should, so that you no longer have to take any more boosters. So I want to make it clear. But, of course, the most important thing is, instead of filing religious exemptions, is to organize. If we're not organized, we can't stop this. And especially the vaccine passport. It's outrageous. It's the Nazi travel papers. Do you have your papers? Where's your papers, please? So it's to be outraged. In fact, that's coming in September 13th in New York City. By the way, in California and L.A., you can't even go food shopping. So is this what we want? Is that our future? You can't leave your house without a vaccine passport, which is really a travel papers. That's what they really are about. And it's about controlling the unemployed, because we're in Great Depression too, and unemployment is going to start soaring.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've, and before we continue coming up demonstrations, not that you said it before I forget, you know, people may think that we're exaggerating, that this is all some type of plan being led by some individuals. But all that people have to do is look up the webpage of the World Economic Forum. Those are the cocorocos, the big cats out in Europe.
where they meet periodically every year. They meet, and you have the wealthiest bankers, people on the planet, and also the so-called royal families of England, Spain, and so on and so forth. They all take part, and they're very proud to take part in these things. And check out what Hans Klaus, who is the director of the World Economic Forum, he is talking about using this whole COVID crisis to reset the economy. And there's dozens. I mean, it's not just one or two videos where he and his wealthy cohorts, mafiosos, they tell us they feel like they're gods, that they're going to lead a new path for humanity. And what I was shocked recently, about 2 weeks ago, is where he is actually talking, and other people of the World Economic Forum, talking about transforming human DNA via
a vaccine.
Well, that's the funny thing. He's not so dodo-bird as to say that vaccine that we're giving you right now, but he is talking about the fact to change human DNA to make humans supposedly better. So these
would be more compliant, more robotic.
So these would be gods out there in Europe. These white folks over there, these billionaires, are telling the rest of the planet, get ready also, because we're going to be altering your DNA, your genes. And it could be, as some people have been saying, that the reason why they're forcing so many people to take these vaccines is because they want to alter our DNA. We do not. I'm not saying that. I don't have the evidence, but I do have the evidence of the horse's mouth out in Europe from the World Economic Forum. Hans Klaus himself says that we want to alter human DNA to improve us, of course.
Well, Zhuganov, who is the head of the Communist Party of the Russian Federation, has openly said that the vaccines are specifically about dealing with the Great Depression. It is to wipe out half the population.
Zhuganov said that?
Yes.
Good Lord.
And to control the other half by changing their DNA to make them basically robots.
I messed up on the name, and thanks to, I'm going to say it right on the air, because I'm not ashamed of the fact that I make mistakes. Hey, I'm human, you know. I made another mistake once a long time ago also. The guy's name is Klaus Schwab, and Thank you so much, Raquel, for pointing out. Again, Klaus Schwab is the guy's name. It's such a funny-sounding name. That's why I blanked out on the Schwab. But in any case, this guy is serious, man. Check him out. I'm sorry, Jessica.
Oh, yes, it's very interesting. Klaus Schwab's mother is Marianne Rothschild.
Yes, there's plenty of connections, plenty of connections. So can I go ahead and address what doctors are now standing up? Now, there are doctors standing up. There are plenty of doctors who are fearful of writing medical exemptions. That's why it's very important for you to get in your religious exemption. Now, in some states, if doctors are writing medical exemptions, they are threatened with losing their license. Hence why they will refuse to write it out of fear. And this is not a time for us to be living in fear. This is a time for us to be standing firm in our strength and in our spirits. Recently, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons says that COVID shots will kill or risk millions of lives. So what they're saying is that there's 30 million people that have recovered from COVID-19 in the U.S. and now have natural immunity. Therefore, why do they need to have a vaccine? It doesn't make any sense. So we have doctors speaking up, and there was an article that recently came out on the Washington Post in reference to George Mason University, where a professor who had COVID did not want to get the shot, and his medical exemption was being denied. He now has an accommodation because natural immunity is something that actually helps you fight off any future infections actually better than a vaccine, because your body recognizes the virus and will react, respond, and fight it off much better than some foreign entity that's entered in you. So this is big. This is huge that this university accepted his medical exemption, and that doctors are saying natural immunity is very important, and people who have had COVID should not be forced to get this shot. So doctors are speaking up, and I hope more doctors speak up, because it's very important. Your MDs, your credentials do have a lot of clout. So please use it in a manner that actually benefits the whole and abides by the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm.
You know, the pharmaceutical industry, I did a little bit of research a few weeks ago, and Jessica also pointed this out to me, had invested over 2019 and 2020 close to $300 million in politicians. That is in the U.S. alone. We don't know how much in other countries. In the U.S. alone, over close to $300 million in politicians at all levels. Jessica, are they making any profits? Is there any good result of this investment that the pharmaceutical industry has made of close to $300 million in politicians?
Absolutely. $550 billion they've made so far from the vaccines. And this does not include the PCR tests. Doesn't include the future booster shots. So this is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. It's astounding. And by the way, hey, we have flus every year. You know, no one is talking about the flu. Mm-hmm.
No, the flu disappeared.
Yeah, completely disappeared.
There have been articles in various newspapers out there are no deaths, practically no deaths being reported nationwide in the U.S. or in other countries from the flu. Obviously, one tends to think that what is happening is that everybody who's dying from the flu is we're now being told it's COVID.
Pneumonia as well, not just the flu, but people who may be passing from pneumonia are being documented as dying of COVID.
I mean, what's outrageous is that New Zealand, a country of 25 million people, locked down over one supposed respiratory death, which they're calling COVID. It's outrageous, and it shows you it has nothing to do with disease. How many people die every day in New Zealand? To talk about one respiratory death is outrageous. So it shows you there's a political implication. It's not, I mean, the people who own Big Pharma are the bankers. And it's the bankers who have created the second Great Depression. And now, how are they going to get out of this depression? I mean, in the 1930s, how did they get out of the depression? We had massive starvation. They were raised. Should I talk about some upcoming events?
Please do.
So we have many upcoming events. So many, please go to stopthelockdown.net, go into upcoming events. But some upcoming events that are coming up are we're going to be back in Staten Island. We're going to be back on Monday from 11 to 2 at Staten Island University Hospital. And it's the large hospital at 575 Seaview Avenue. And we welcome everyone to join us, not just healthcare workers. We're going to be back at it again in Staten Island on Wednesday, but this time at the South Campus at 375 Seguin Avenue. I want to make the point of also Wednesday, very important. We have another big rally in New York City. I'm sorry, what's the name of the rally? I think it's called Unions for Choice, I believe it is.
This is the one that's going to be in front of City Hall on Wednesday. This
yes.
coming Wednesday, the 25th, I believe.
Yes, 4 o'clock. So it's New York City, Unions for Choice, 4 o'clock. And we also have, that's on the 25th. We also have several of them also in New Jersey. Please take a look on the 23rd, for example. There's one on Valley Hospital in Ridgewood. There's also another one on Brick Township. The other big rally will be Labor Day, September 6th at 1 p.m. at Union Square Park. And we encourage everyone to go there, whether you're a business owner, you're a fast food worker, healthcare, fire department, unemployed, because you know what? You're all members of the working class, and we need to get together to fight the vaccine passport. We have to fight to end these lockdowns that are destroying the economy even more than the economy has been destroyed by the bankers. And we have to say no to these incredibly dangerous vaccines. By the way, in 2009, which is very interesting, we had a financial recession. They thought it was going to be a collapse, but it wasn't. What did they introduce at that time? They were promoting the swine flu. The difference is that they had Occupy. Occupy stopped the whole swine flu scare, And they also stopped the vaccines after 52 deaths. Mm-hmm. Officially right now, we have 12,366 deaths, according to the Open VAERS site.
It's actually higher. It's as of August 6th from the VAERS site, it's 12,791. And remember, there are about 12 other reporting systems that we, that it's not an open source where we can go ahead and do it ourselves. So that's just on VAERS. And there's over 1,384,264 injuries reported to VAERS, which is not an easy site to report an injury on. It's very cumbersome.
And let me add that I know people in the healthcare field who work in the hospitals and also doctors. Obviously, I'm trying to organize in that field. VAERS, by the way, is not allowing, since July, any new reports. So if someone died recently from the vaccine, they are not reporting it. So
when you say they're not reporting it, it's impossible just to send the information? They do not accept it?
They will not accept it. It'll bounce back to you. If you go into MedInfo, for example, same thing. Not MedInfo, MedWatch, all these different sites. You cannot enter into the VAERS site. So we don't really know how many people are really dying. But there's a lawsuit in Hawaii where someone has documents to prove that 45,000 deaths were not listed in the VAERS site, that they are, as we know, underreporting on purpose. Right. But why are they still allowed to sell these vaccines and now demand booster shots if right now we have so many deaths? It's outrageous. Like I said, in 2009, 52 deaths, that was the end of that vaccine. And here we have more than 12,000 official deaths, 45,000 that are not being documented, and God knows how many countless more.
So this is a great segue. As I mentioned before, Dr. Feintouch, and I made the error of mispronouncing his name, Dr. Feintouch, who is supporting people with religious exemptions, is also creating an affidavit for people who have had vaccine injuries. You reach out to him. He will send you a questionnaire and help you complete a form that he will archive and store, so that way it cannot be erased, which there is a concern that the numbers in VAERS are not accurate, even with those entered. There is a concern that some may have been changed, altered in some way to not reflect the true data. So Dr. Feintouch is working with others to create this affidavit, so that way there is integrity and the vaccine adverse reaction reporting system. So it's very, very important. So anyone who is in need of a religious exemption, a medical exemption, or wants to report a vaccine injury, it is very important for you to write an email. And please make sure you put in the subject line what the email is in reference to. If it's for the religious exemption, medical exemption, which, by the way, if there's a medical exemption, I do recommend you do both the medical exemption and religious exemption at the same time. It's very powerful. So the email here, let me look up the exact email address.
And this will be for Dr. Feintouch.
Dr. Feintouch.
Good.
InalienableRightsAlliance@protonmail.com. It is quite lengthy. Inalienable Rights, InalienableRightsAlliance@protonmail.com. Make sure to write in the subject line what it is that you are seeking, so that way it's easier for him to filter and organize and get to people in a timely fashion.
And we will try in this same program, Raquel, to speak with Dr. Feintouch. That'll be later on in the program. He is not accessible at this moment that we're doing the recording, but we do hope to speak with him. If we do not, people can also call one of these two telephone numbers, 718-414-9558. And Jessica, what is the other number?
201-426-7830. And you can also contact us at stopthelockdown.net.
I have one last question, Jessica. You mentioned that the Labor Day rally is on Sunday, but I was just checking out.
No, it's Monday. I'm sorry.
Monday.
Did I say Sunday? No, Monday.
Oh,
no,
maybe
Labor Day.
Okay, I'm wrong. Maybe I heard. Okay. So it is September 6th, Monday at Union Square Park at what time?
1 o'clock.
Perfect. Okay, so we want to thank so much Jessica Coco, Raquel Martinez for your participation today. We hoped that it will not be necessary to return to this topic. However, as we notice these impositions and dictatorial moves taking place across this country, and incidentally, a little bit of good news. In Denmark, this past week, there was very, very good news where it was finally decided by the courts that all of these forced vaccinations, people could continue voluntarily, forced vaccinations and forceful shutdowns of the economy are going to end in Denmark. And there are other good news coming in from Alberta, Canada, that we've heard, and other places. We don't have time to run them down. But there is mass resistance around the world. We have seen the massive demonstrations, although most of the corporate media will not show the videos, and the corporate media wants to censor it. But in France, Germany, in Greece, and in fact, Raquel, I believe you were in Greece recently, right?
Yes, I was. And I met plenty of people who are in opposition of all of this. They do honor choice, but they do not feel that they should be forced. I met 20-year-olds who said they refused to take this, but feel like they're being forced to in order to attend university, in order for them to have some sort of career. I met a 19-year-old who just opened her heart to me and it told me how one of her best friends had died, same age, 19 years old, following the AstraZeneca shot. And she said, I don't want that. That's not the fate that's meant for me, not at this age. So anyone who is fighting now, everyone who is opposed to any of this, understand that this is a global effort, that you are part of a global army now, and we need you and your positivity and your steadfast, diligent nature more than ever, because this is about protecting future generations. And this is not only in Greece, but I'm also speaking to people in Puerto Rico going through the same thing. I mean, this is global. So I'm in touch with an attorney who is filing lawsuits and appeals against these mandates. So I'm on multiple fronts, literally. We can all do this. We can all do this, and we must do this.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say Puerto Rico, because various groups in Puerto Rico over the last couple of years have been pro-independence. Mind you, I am a pro-independence Puerto Rican. I was born in Puerto Rico, raised up here in New York, and support independence and socialism for Puerto Rico. But over the last couple of years, it's been very difficult for independence groups to mobilize independence over the last couple of years. They have not, for some reason, mobilized too many people on the streets. But there was a demonstration of thousands of people about 2 weeks ago in San Juan in front of the governor's mansion, La Fortaleza, demanding what we're talking about here. Freedom of choice. You know, you could have vaccines for people who want the vaccines, etc., but do not impose it on people. And also, very importantly, most of these people, they were parents, they were defending the rights of their children not to be forcibly vaccinated.
Raquel, thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. And that was not Michael Jackson, of course. That is a tribute from an album, a tribute to Michael Jackson, produced by Tony Sukar. Tony Sukar, a very young man. He was born in Peru.
Peruvian, Costa Rican parents, and also had some Japanese blood in him, raised up in the United States. The main singer there is Jean Rodriguez, who was born in Puerto Rico and raised up in the States. The album is a tribute to Michael Jackson. And now we're going to be moving on to our conversation with Dr. Eric Feintouch.
Okay, and as we had promised earlier, we do have Dr. Eric Feintouch, who is a doctor of chiropractic, on the line with us. And Dr. Feintouch, it's such a pleasure and honor to have heard many, many things about you. And please give us your views on what is happening in this present situation in terms of how people's rights are being threatened, violated across the country, and especially here in New York City, and what alternatives people have who want to, for example, oppose having forceful vaccinations.
Okay, so we have created an Inalienable Rights Alliance. Inalienable is kind of like what's built into our Constitution as something given from God. And our idea is to be able to say, what is our rights as God-fearing human beings? What have we been given both by the Constitution as well as by God himself? Obviously, that's our concept. So what we've been able to do is look at the law and protect those that are basically being hounded or mandated. And there's a couple of things that the law is on our side for right now, and it's going to change. But right now, the laws are there to make reasonable accommodations for people in jobs that are basically being forced to get or mandated a vaccine. And it's right now it's considered to be emergency use authorization, but it is going to be fully authorized pretty soon, including what I heard just recently, as quickly as even next week. The issue is, do you have the right to say no? And the answer is yes. You have the right to say no under the EEOC guidelines, which is really from the Equal from really protecting civil rights. That organization is part of the federal government.
And please explain what that stands for, because I know maybe many people do not know what EEOC stands for.
Right. So it's basically let's both kind of go over that. The idea is that there are a couple of branches of government, right? We know the judiciary and we know the legislature. So there's branches that are designed to protect civil rights. So if you go down and you write EEOC, right, Edward, OpenCharlie.gov, you'll see on your website what exactly they do. They protect the civil rights of all citizens of the United States who are employed. It includes a variety of, so we'll do it together, EEOC.gov.
Which, of course, means equal. Exactly.
Yeah, so basically what that is the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
Right.
And they basically protect people who are injured at work. They protect people that have a disability. They protect people from harassment. They have whistleblower protection. All the laws of the government to protect employment are there. So even if the president, who has basically said things that are not legally true, the EEOC is supposed to basically correct that. In other words, if he says something, it doesn't make it true. There's laws and there's discrimination laws, and he can say whatever he wants, but those are laws that are on the books, have been gone through the judiciary. That's why there's three branches of government. And if he's overstepping his bounds, this organization is there to say, no, I'm sorry, it's law, and you can't bend the law.
You know, Dr. Feintouch, This is incredible, you know, because I've been active around labor rights and, you know, on the left for many, well, a long time. I was going to say many decades. It could be centuries, right? And we have tried over and over again to get workers interested in defending their rights, fighting for labor rights. And it's been very difficult. However, we have discovered over the last 3 to 4 weeks that many, many, many workers are calling us and calling different persons that are active around labor rights, workers' rights, because they feel threatened, seriously threatened by this violation.
This is a serious moment in the history of our country.
Yes.
And I think that that's why we got involved. The reason why I realized that, listen, as a doctor of chiropractic, we have been able to, we were basically one of the first professions that was targeted by the AMA. There's an injunction, a federal injunction against the AMA to try to, because they try to destroy and eliminate, kind of like what they've done to religions in the world, but they try to destroy and eliminate our profession. It took five brave chiropractors that I got to meet in my lifetime
right.
that actually defended the whole profession, and they, the AMA is no longer allowed to try to destroy my profession.
Right.
So we don't take the idea of free speech lightly. We understand that when someone comes and we use our hands to help them feel better and make their joints and their nervous system work better, or we do nutrition to make their bodies function better, that basically we had a fight for the right to do that. So every patient that I have gets to hear the story of how we were trying to be destroyed, and we went to a federal judge, and we succeeded in stopping the harassment, the destruction of our profession, and it's on the books. It's a permanent injunction, and the AMA can actually be censored. It can actually be sued from the federal government if they even put on their agenda something that tries to attack my profession.
Right. Okay, now, these workers that have been getting in contact with us, I'll give you an example of a typical worker. This fellow, he's 35 years old. He took the first vaccine very, let's say, with much enthusiasm. The second day, he got a very powerful sense of depression and of paranoia. And this was about 2 months ago. And he's beginning to recuperate now. He wanted to quit his job. And he's married, mind you. But he did not quit his job. His family supported him, and so on and so forth. He's getting better now, and now he's confronted with the threat by the company that he has to take a second vaccine, otherwise they're going to fire him. So this is typical of the many people who have.
Okay.
Been,
see, all right.
What
all right.
What can he, for example, do in order to defend his rights?
Okay, so look, one of my goals was to put together a team of attorneys and advocates to help those people that need help. So on the first side, when it comes to if he had a reaction to the shot, so the first shot, legally he has what's called a medical exemption, which he's allowed to apply for. And if he can't find a doctor, then we can maybe help him. So he can go online and actually send us an email, and you have to spell this carefully. It's Inalienable Rights Alliance at Proton. I'm going to spell it out, protonmail.com. So Inalienable, INALIENABLE Rights, RIGHTS Alliance, ALLIANCE at ProtonMail, ProtonMail.com. And I hope you put that in your newsletter if people need to, if they don't know how to do it, they can click on it there.
I absolutely will. And so.
Now, if they
right.
click on that, they need to tell us what their situation is. Briefly, their name, their phone number, and briefly what's happening with them, and we'll see if we can refer them to somebody that can give them some advice, potentially even legally represent them. And we're also using that for our affidavits. We believe we do what's called a VAERS reading. VAERS is the Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System that the government put in place. It's a passive system, and we basically have that system that's designed to report if people have adverse effects to the COVID and to other vaccines. And right now, the amount that have been reported as potentially implicated in the COVID shot is over 12,000 deaths that have been attributed to this shot. Now, has it been confirmed? We just want to know. So we are actually requesting the federal government to reveal whether or not it's doing its proper job, meaning are they doing the proper forensics to see whether these 12,000 deaths have been caused by this shot, which, according to their own study in 2015 from Harvard, represents only about 2% of the actual total of potential injuries. This means thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, may have already had an effect within a few days and may have perished, and we're not sure the system even records it. This is unheard of in the history of any country that's not at war, and it's unheard of in any civilized society, and we are demanding the government reveal this information to us.
Now, in terms of future activities that are going to be held public, are there any in which you will be taking part, or which you feel that you could recommend people to go to within the next week or 2 weeks and become
okay, a little bit more oriented?
I think
you need to be out there on any event that's going on about your rights. I think you need to be out there. This is all about peaceful. We are a peaceful country. We are not here to, you know, our whole movement is to get, you know, like I've heard before, to make sure that the best and the brightest come forward. We're not looking for any reality is as good as the people there. So people need to speak and come together in a peaceful fashion. So any rally you see, please join in. Go look, go listen to the speakers out there. My goal is twofold. One is to give you guys, people, a chance to get religious exemptions if they need it. I have a priest, I have a minister and a rabbi, which sounds like the good beginning of a joke, but I actually have all these religious leaders that are helping people with the religious exemptions, which is considered, according to the EEOC.gov,
right,
a reasonable accommodation that even if it's mandated, if someone has strong religious beliefs, they need to provide that to their employer. We can help you get that done through one of our religious leaders. If they need something a little more professional, they'll have to come to my attorney and me, but most of the time it can be done very inexpensively with these religious leaders. And I think if they need someone, as I said, professionally, like a big national corporation, then you need someone like an attorney and myself that will help you. And we don't write them for people. We make people, I call it a declaration to God, to understand what you would want to do. We don't believe that you should have a religious exemption because you just want to get out of the shot.
Right.
We want you to have a relationship with God so that you understand
right.
that there are other things that, that God made your body for, and there are some very good mitigation processes, which I know you're going to have a great speaker on next week, that I want the future mayor, the future governor, and the future politicians to understand that we can fix COVID by using medical interventions, what's called off-label drug use, the drugs that are used like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and these things are, not that I prescribe them, but they're available through a network all across the United States. Even though it's being censored, there are doctors that are doing it, and it's a very, very important thing that you don't only go and try to get a medical exemption or a religious exemption, but you also pursue a way of, if you get sick, to treat it primarily at home so that you don't end up in the hospital. And there's this whole alliance group out there, many of them, by the way, that can help everyone at home so they don't end up on a ventilator, God forbid, which is the end game. And unfortunately,
right.
the wrong strategy
right.
For this disease.
Exactly. We are speaking with Dr. Eric Feintuch. And Dr. Feintuch, you told me something interesting a little while ago regarding the American Academy of Physicians and Surgeons. You want to repeat
yes,
that,
yes.
please?
Yeah, this is very important. For the first time, the medical doctors are on the same side as us. The medical association, the CDC, everyone's saying, you need the shot, you need the shot, and they're missing the donut hole, which if you watch Seinfeld, they were selling donut holes. Guess what? The history of medicine knows there's a thing called natural immunity, and they're actually pretending like it doesn't exist
right.
because they can't measure it. Anyone that recovered from COVID for the first time can get a medical exemption potentially because now the research is there. It's been there for decades that the body has a natural immune system that once it gets exposed to a virus, it gets resistance and it builds up immunity. That's the goal behind good vaccines when they're working well, is that you build natural immunity even from a vaccine, but you can even be exposed to it. So if you've been exposed to COVID and you're being told by your job that you have to get a vaccine, they're wrong. And we will help defend your rights. And
absolutely.
They can call us at 1-800-GET-WELL if they want us to help pursue that. But I want you, most of the people, to use the email system just to make it to handle the calls that we're getting in, the Inalienable Rights Alliance at protonmail.com. But if they have other really important questions, they're going to lose their job tomorrow, to leave us a message at 1-800-GET-WELL.
Okay, and we are approaching the 15-minute mark. And we do beg you, Dr. Eric Feintuch, to slowly repeat that email people could get in contact with you at.
Sure. So if you have either if you want a religious exemption or a medical exemption, if you've had COVID and they're forcing you to take a shot, you have rights. You want to send us an email with your name and your phone number, to Inalienable Rights Alliance at, I'm going to say it once or twice, Inalienable Rights Alliance at protonmail.com. It's long, but it is the meaning of what we're about, Inalienable Rights Alliance. Inalienable, I-N-A-L-I-E-N-A-B-L-E, Rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, Alliance, A-L-L-I-N-C-E, at protonmail, P-R-O-T-O-N-M-A-I-L.com. And if it's an emergency and you're going to lose your job tomorrow, call us at 1-800-GET-WELL, which is 1-800-438-9355.
Well, and here on La Voz Latina, we are continuing to do the job we have been doing more or less for 20 years on WBAI, and that is defending the rights of workers, all workers. And with the help of fine Dr. Eric Feintuch, hopefully we will continue to proceed along this path. And hopefully in about two more weeks, Dr. Feintuch, we will be in contact and you will give us an update on the work and the responses that you have had, okay?
My pleasure. I look forward to working with you, and it's an honor, and I really do think that you're basically pushing the envelope to make sure that the world knows about what is within capability. Don't be told, even by the president, that you're not entitled to have your rights maintained. Even he cannot take away the laws of what God gave us and what the Constitution protects, no matter how well he says it. And sometimes he stutters when he says it. But the most important thing is you do have rights, and we can help protect you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Eric Feintuch, and we will be in contact. Take care, my brother.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
And that brings us to the end of this version of La Voz Latina. My name is Daniel Vila. Warm embrace to everybody out there, and catch you in the next program. Thank you very much.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI New York at 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. The views expressed in the previous program are not necessarily the views of management or other producers on this free speech radio station. This is WBAI New York.
Good afternoon. You're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York. La Voz Latina with Daniel Vila came to you on recording over listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio WBAI in New York. Coming up at 3 o'clock is Concepor Latino with Nando Alberici and Maria Barreto. Stay tuned.
Haiti Relief, a WBAI Building Bridges special Monday, August 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m. In the aftermath of the deadly 7.2 magnitude earthquake in Haiti and in the context of tropical storms, the caretaker government, and the COVID-19 pandemic, Haiti Relief, WBAI stands with the people of Haiti and commits to supporting efforts to immediately improve material conditions, hold the powerful to account for their responsibility and complicity in human suffering, and the global systems of oppression so that Haiti may begin a meaningful recovery. Haiti Relief, join WBAI Monday, August 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m., where we build bridges for Haiti Relief for accountable aid and historical justice. Haiti Relief.
I love New York.
We love New York.
We've been stuck inside our homes
while our everyday heroes have been working overtime
for New York to reopen
and stay open.
We all need to do our part
and show that we care.
Look, man,
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear a mask to protect me.
Let's all wear a mask
to stop the spread of coronavirus
and save lives.
When we show up in the mask,
we're showing up for each other.
Show your love for New York.
Because New York loves you.
Wash your hands, everybody. And everybody, wash your hands. My people uptown, wash your hands. My people downtown, wash your hands. People from the East Coast, wash your hands. People from the West Coast, wash your hands.
That's right. First and foremost, please listen close. Take your time, wash. Use a lot of soap from the front to the back, back to the front. Sing the hook where you at. That's exactly what we want. You catch a little fever, shortness of breath, slight little cough. Feel it in your chest. You should call your doctor. Doctor know what's best. Don't go running to the hospital because you could be a threat. Coronavirus.
Don't you get it?
Don't you get it?
Can't you see?
Can't you see?
epidemic. Pandemic. Social distance, non-existence. Don't resist this. Get gone in an instance if you miss this.
Extinction Diaries. The giant manta ray could be called the eagle of the sea with their magnificent wings and aerial-like maneuvers both under and over the waves. Nearly 15 feet wide, the magnificent ray is only capable of giving birth every 3 to 5 years and rarely births two babies at the same time. This slow reproductive rate cannot keep up with their slaughter, and the giant manta ray is being removed from the International Vulnerable List and added to the Endangered Species List. They may not be on that list long because oceans have reached a catastrophic tipping point. Manta itself tastes bad to humans, but they are netted, cut up as bait, then used to catch sharks and other animals. Every year, hundreds and even thousands of mantas are killed for their gill rakers, which serve to filter plankton, their principal food source. There's no proof that the gill rakers provide any benefit as medicine, yet that is why Asian markets have them in such demand. And just like other filter-feeding fish and whales, pollution like plastic, especially microplastics, are taking devastating tolls inside their bodies. There is literally no place on Earth now safe for the giant manta ray. My name is Cheyenne Sun Thunder, and this is Small World Radio Production.
Thanks to you.
Thank you.
Thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI.